Hello, everybody, and here we are again. It's Saturday afternoon, and I want to just make a couple announcements. First of all, we're going to have one more set of meetings before the end of the year, and that's going to be on November 16th and 17th, the week before Thanksgiving. And so I wanted to let you know, I'll send you out an email, and then I want to make sure people understand that the verse for the weekend is not found in the Psalms in your canon, which is your regular Bible. But it's a psalm. The Thanksgiving Psalms are in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's available online. I have a hard copy, but I don't use hard copies of anything anymore. But you can buy the books, which Linda had and was reading out of it. So it's Psalm 23. Just put Thanksgiving Psalms. If you just enter that in, it'll come right up. So it even is online. You can read it. So don't need to buy it. You can print it out. So Barb had asked where that was, and that's where it is. And I've got another couple verses that we're going to share the end of the day that come out of some of the books in between the Old Testament and New Testament, which are part of the Catholic Bible, the Revised Standard Bible. So we've again got the wisdoms of Solomon again is creeping up with some more wisdom. It doesn't surprise us, right? So, this series is called The Kingdom Within. This is the third message. This last message, we're going to start again. We're going to start again to go back to the dark places a little bit, just to refresh ourselves a little bit, expand on a little bit. But now, at the end, we're going to talk a little bit more about the light that's everlasting and how that connects to some of the things we've been learning. So today, by the time we get done, hopefully you're understanding what peace is a little more, and it'll even feel a little good. So, but we want to be a little careful with that. We don't want to get feeling too good, because if we feel too good, we'll probably stick it in the wrong place, right? So Linda had wrote us, and I mean that from a spiritual level. You can't apply spiritual truth to your ego. That's what we're talking about. We do it all the time, and we've been doing it, and we're still doing it. Because there's so many connections, and why is that? Because these dark places have not been revealed, where we're connected to the world. That's why. And so that's why we have to be real careful. I will say for the rest of my life that there's no way that the revolving door between the kingdom of heaven and hell stops. It might, but as soon as I say that, then it means I'm on the other side, see? And I don't want to be there to any degree, and who can I trust to know if I'm there or not? It's not this. It's not my mind, and that's why I can't say with my mind I'm not there. I can't trust that. I have to know from inside that when this peace and joy is flowing, that it certainly doesn't come from what I see in the world, and it doesn't take us very long. It's easy when we're in this little group and everybody's all giggly and happy and we're sitting here, but on Monday and Tuesday, you're going to have, you know, some whirlwinds coming. And we've got to learn how to let God speak out of the whirlwind like he did to Job. Because he did it at the beginning and Job didn't hear him, and at the end he did. And you know what Job said? I shut my mouth. I have nothing more I can say to you. In chapter 42. He was blabbing away for 40 verses, talking to people about his version of God, right, with his buddies. They're sitting around the bonfire, smoking cigars, drinking a beer, whatever. And they were blabbing away about what they thought they knew, And finally he said, I shut my mouth. And it's there, it's in the record. He says, what can I say unto thee? He says. Because God said, who are you? Who is this man? Who is this strange creature that you think you are? Who are you that you would speak against yourself? Not a remote God. Right? That's where the conflict comes, guys. That's where everything rubs. Right? The conflict comes in here because you're speaking against your own identity. You're not speaking to some God in a cloud. He's not out there. He's never been out there. And so when you're reading Scripture and it talks about higher and other and above, and Ellie was bringing this up, it's just talking about a higher understanding above the visions and observations of the earth. That's the higher way. That's the higher heaven. But when I read that, it was crazy because this was back when I was in Union Life, and I remember I was reading all the scriptures about him, God, Jesus saying the kingdom of God is within you. And he said, behold, the kingdom of God has come upon you. It's near to you. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, behold, the kingdom of God's upon you. And I realized he was doing it right there. And I thought it was the squalling and bawling and spitting and cussing kind, you know. So I didn't get it. But then I went into Revelation 22 one day when we were out in Dalton, Pennsylvania. Diane was there with me. And I stood up and I quoted Revelation 22 where it said, behold, the habitation of God is with man. And I realized it was the same thing. And all of a sudden I realized Revelation was a history book. I'd been studying eschatology and I'd been studying pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib and then Malcolm Smith has got amillennialism, and I mean I'd been studied all of them and I'd moved all over the place. I was part of all of them. Okay, I liked the amillennialism a little bit, but that wasn't right either. I didn't even, can't even say it right. Post-toasties. I was preaching post-toasties once. And then I realized I'm in the end of Revelation. And it's the same thing Jesus said in Matthew and John. I'm going, holy smokes. Yeah. And I got suspicious. And that's, of course, that suspicion, right? We know what that suspicion is, right? It's a strange word that comes to us, is what the suspicion is. It's a strange word, and we go, that doesn't make sense to my mind. Bingo. Doesn't make sense to your mind. Right? And if it feels good, say, Father, what is this I'm hearing? Because when this stuff comes to me, I don't understand it when I first hear it. I don't understand it. And then he starts teaching me because I get hungry. And then I go in and see some scripture. And these lessons literally come together. I prepare the whole time between them, but they come together a couple days before. They all come together. And so that's how it happens. So we thank you, Linda, for this wonderful verse. And today we're also going to share some scripture that Bob Hughes sent us. Because Bob and I talk a lot, and we communicate a lot about spiritual things, and I love his insight. He's very keen on the kingdom and understanding righteousness correctly. So, here we go. So the question always is, first, and this comes from the ego, so I'm going to give you a partial answer just to help get you jump started. It says, what do we do? What do we do? Well, we know the answer to that is you can't do anything. You can't become something you already are, right? So, but we've got to speak words. So you'll have to forgive me for speaking words that don't quite line up with absolute truth, all right? But we're down here, we're communicating. We have to speak words. And when we get to the end, it'll be said correctly. But to start with you, I guess, because the ego says, okay, what do I do, right? Well, the answer is, we have to undo the imaginations of the mind that pulls us away, right? That's what we're doing. So hang on a second here. Yes, Dan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, we were just streaming. So did you check?
I haven't checked
now. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, that's good. We're good. Thank you. Okay, we're live. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep. Sorry about that, guys. He's my guy that checks us to make sure we're going. He says we're going, so we're all good. So, great. So, what do we do when we seem to be surrounded with turmoil, with concerns, with problems, and with conflict? Now, I put the word in there, seem. When we seem to be. That's pretty important. When we seem to be surrounded. What do we do when we seem to be surrounded? And the answer to that is, we must realize who we are. Now, we've given you some other tools, and today I want to give you some more tools. We have to realize who we are. And I don't want to simplify this just by saying that and then just leaving it there. Because there's a lot of us, there's a lot of teachers that say all these beautiful things, and they're just clouds without rain. It's just nice fluffy talk. You know, and we don't want any of that. It's just like getting an injection, you know, for pain or something, but you still got a broken bone, you know. I'm not interested in that, okay? I want understanding. I want truth. And so I don't want to just say you must realize who you are. Where is this real self at? Because it's there, bigger than life. Bigger than what we define as life. It's there. And so one of the... that's a little glary.
I'm just trying to make it brighter.
Yeah, that's good, thanks. Where is the real self? It's hidden behind the appearances. We know that, don't we? Everybody's in agreement with that. It's just behind the appearances. It's just behind all of the things that are troubling you. It's just on the other side of those. That's where it's at. It can't be recognized on this side, but you'll recognize them when you're in the appearances. You're still there, right? And that's why this verse is so important, that from darkness you raise hearts. So this is why it's so critical to realize the appearances, to become intimate with the darkness. Now, Linda sent a little email. She said, I was hearing the secrets of darkness, and I had already mentioned that because there's a book out there called The Secrets of Darkness. Unfortunately, that book has some good truth in it, but it teaches that God's a God of good and evil. So I wouldn't recommend, you know, purchasing that book. But there's a lot of interest in there that's good. But the treasures of darkness is a very applicable word, okay? So this real self is hidden behind the appearances. This self knows neither good or evil. It's a self that begins to hear the prime directive and begins to see righteousness in everything and every place. Now, we've had people, especially Kay Rourke, who's listening in Florida. She has, I guess, quite a brood down there of kids. And she says her kids have been listening to the teaching on righteous judgment. And from what I understand, I could be wrong, they're not regular listeners. But they had found in that understanding that they were getting a lot of peace just from that truth. Well, why is that happening? Because as soon as you agree, now listen now, as soon as you agree with truth, it begins to change your view. As soon as you agree with it, and you begin to have a feeling that directs you. So truth always comes with the power for it to be manifested. It's not you doing something. But the truth comes from within you. It doesn't come from my lips. I don't want to be called good, or I don't want to be called a teacher or anything. If I just sit up here, I mean, I went and taught some classes at JCC last week. It was all about business and it was fun, but it's not something I want to do. And I want there to be agreement in you that never leaves you. That's when we're being successful. That this Spirit will come and guide you into all truth. I know He's guiding me into truth, and so I'm just sharing with you my fumbling experience. So some of it's, we've got to keep it the right category. You know, I might get off a little bit on some areas, but I know the principles we're focusing on are right. Right? I know those are right. Because we keep coming back to a type of pure wisdom that continues to make me feel more peaceful. That's all I can do. And just have an open heart to have the dark places exposed. To realize that those need to be exposed. So the prime directive, we see righteousness in everything. What do the appearances do? They pull us into a realm of judgment. We then lose sight of who we are. Our mind becomes attached to the appearances. Our mind becomes attached to the illusions of time. Our mind attaches itself to anything and pulls us away from that self. That self that cannot be touched. The self is always the same. It never changes. It never grows. It never gets old. It never dies. It never needs anything. So you know you're safe there, right? And I don't want people to get confused again. You see, Mike, I've lusted over a Cadillac Seville. I've been lusting over that thing. Well, let go of it. It doesn't mean you aren't going to get one. It doesn't mean you can't go get one. But let go of it until you realize you don't need it. Until you realize you're okay without it. And then wait and see if it still feels comfortable, right? Then see if it comes back to you. If it comes back to you in a way where there's no urgency and there's no anxiousness and there's nothing desperate about it, to me, that's when it's safe. Now, Diane and I, out at the lake, we've got a couple cottages that we got for a bargain. She had received some money from her folks who had a very large farm in Nebraska, and all the kids got a piece of that. And so we took some money that she had in there and bought a small lake cottage, just a small one. And then one next to it came up for sale. And I mean, for lake property, I mean, I'm not trying to sell lake property, but I'm just saying, any other lake around here, these properties would have been 2 and 3 times more than what we paid. So then Granny, who all of you've met, who's next to the A-frame out with us, left us last year. And she had a house next to that one. And Diane and I said, oh, well, maybe we should buy that one too. And so you know what we did? We went and bought it. And they accepted our bid. And then, but I wasn't completely comfortable with it. The idea was maybe to implode both the houses and build something nice. Before we could have bigger meetings, we might be able to have all the meetings out on the lake. That was one of my ideas. And that could be a good excuse if I had to have it, right? I mean, that'd be a great excuse, wouldn't it, for you guys? I could say it's all for you, right? But so then what happened is a couple days later, which this is not supposed to happen, the realtor could have gotten in trouble. All of a sudden, a couple days later, she calls back and she says, well, the trust has decided that if you want this, you have to pay full price. But they'd already accepted our offer. And immediately when I heard that word, I looked at Diane and I said, we're not supposed to do this. Because all of a sudden, there was conflict. See? I said, no, we're dropping this like a hot rock. And I instantly had peace about it. Instantly. And so the desire to even own a fence post over there was gone. And what's funny is we got the nicest, cute little neighbors you ever could dream of. We just love them to death. We saw them all out there this year. Got a little baby. They're just the nicest, sweetest people. And that was what we were concerned about. We'd get some nasty neighbors, you know, that run over our sprinkler heads. Again. You know, I couldn't handle that again, Rex. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I got one of those now. And that was sort of the motivation. I said, well, if we get that, then we won't have any neighbors next to us. But we love these guys being next to us. They come over, Diane loves her dogs, and she's over there massaging them. And maybe I got to go over there if I want a massage, you know, because it's hard to get one out of her here. Maybe I'll go over there and pretend I'm the neighbor so I can get a massage out of her. She's loving her neighbors, yep. But the point was, I was sensitive, and after we did it, there was still a little bit of, I still wasn't really comfortable with it completely. There was still a little bit of discomfort there, but I said, well, let's just see what happens. Boom, that was happening. I called the realtor. I said, you know, we don't, you know, we're not going to be upset about anything, but we don't play games with these things. I told him, I said, when something goes wrong, we feel that it's not for us. I said, thank you very much. You know, we hope somebody buys it, you know. And so we just walked away. And we certainly didn't need it. There's no way that we needed it, right? So anyways, there's a good example, right? To some degree, I didn't know whether I was coming to going with the thing, see? To some degree. So there's a great example about separating the flesh from the spirit. God doesn't judge you for having things. It doesn't matter where you're at. You just have to have peace about whatever it is and not be anxious for it. He says, be anxious for nothing. And there was a little bit of anxiousness in that deal. Little bit. And then it got big. And I was already suspicious about it. So anyway, because I want to make, I don't want people to go up and be a Gnostic and stand up on top of a post and not eat and beat yourself, you know, because that's what they thought this stuff meant, right? You got to deprive yourself. The same way with the priests and the monks and a lot of the mystics, a lot of the Middle Eastern ones think you just, the Buddhist monks, all of them, they just think you've got to deprive yourself. You can't have a wife. That's all a bunch of hoo-ha, okay? To quote a famous person, hoo-ha. It's just hoo-ha. And what we're talking about, these appearances, this is the great darkness that we're talking about. And we're, there we go, okay. I took the, sorry, this thing's wanting to hibernate on me. Anyways, when we're pulled into a realm of judgment, we lose sight of who we are. Through these hundreds, maybe thousands of tentacles that are the history of our lives, attached to our memory, right? But the great darkness is they disconnect us from our true identity. That's when it says, how great is this darkness? It doesn't matter how many you have. It's just we got to realize it's separating us from who we are. And we're only separated in our minds now, see? That's why it's an illusion. Right? We're only separated in our minds. I love what Walter Lanyon says. He said it all the time. He says, I'm not going anywhere. He says, I'm not going to go anywhere. So this great darkness, you might think you have passed by this place before and it's over. But if you can identify with anything I've just said, it's the darkness is what's troubling you. If you're troubled by anything, it's the darkness that's troubling you, okay? It's not your soul. It's not your true identity. It's the separation that's troubling you. It's this sense of separation that's troubling us, and that's called the great darkness. And so can we confess that to ourselves, to our spirit? So, it's simply not knowing who you are. But when you don't know who you are, you're dwelling in a place that can't be satisfied. And so we're back to Proverbs 27:11. Hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. This is a description of the dark places. And Solomon called it hell and destruction. Why would it be called hell and destruction? Because there's gnashing of teeth, and things come and go. Things are here and then they're gone, and things are here and then they're gone. You know? And it's funny, we read last time we were together, you know, a guy doesn't realize that all his stuff gets distributed to his relatives when he's gone, and he might not even like some of them. So I told my mom, I said, don't leave me nothing. Spend all your money. I keep telling her that, but she lives in so much fear of not having enough money, she won't spend it all. I said, go spend it all. You know, I don't want anything from you. And so, this darkness, again, we're going to stay there just for a little while longer, okay? Hang on. This darkness is the same darkness talked about in Psalm 23. So I want to read it one more time real quick, and then we're going to move in to some other verses. Your Holy Spirit illuminates the dark places of the heart of your servant with light like the sun. I look to the covenants made by man worthless. Only your truth shines, and those who love it are wise and walk in the glow of your light. From darkness you raise hearts. Let light shine on your servant. Your light is everlasting. Now, I'm going to say something unusual again, but the verse says it, okay? Your truth shines, and those who love it are wise and walk in the glow of your light. Now, if we're going to love the truth, you've got to love every word in that verse. You can't pick and choose. Every word. The wise walk in the glow of their deliverance from the darkness. It creates the glow. Because if you're not, if you're already in the light, nothing can glow. You're already glowing. So how can a glow be created, which is what it says here? As you're walking in the darkness, you begin to glow. In the darkness. And it keeps glowing, which means you've still got some tentacles. There's still a little bit of darkness there, but you're glowing brighter and brighter and brighter. And I've got to tell a quick story because it just came to me. But Malcolm Smith told a wonderful story once of a missionary person he knew that was down in South America, and he was in a pretty hostile area. And all of a sudden, the tribes he was going in the bush to minister to captured him. And they said, we're going to put you to death. And so we want you to start digging your grave. You might remember this story. I told it a few months ago. And so he goes, wow, this isn't good, right? So he sheepishly starts shoveling. He says, well, I'm going to shovel just a little bit, you know, because I want this to take as long as it can, you know what I mean? So he started shoveling a little bit. He started digging a hole. All of a sudden, an unbelievable amount of grace overwhelmed him. And he started digging like a steam shovel. He was digging that thing and throwing dirt like five dogs put together. And as he got deeper, it was said of the villagers that he went out of sight in the hole he was digging. I don't know if he was going all the way to China or what he was doing. But they said they looked over and the hole was glowing with light. That they saw a light and they were so superstitious that they ran for their lives. And he got out, he went up, finished the hole, got up, threw the shovel down, and said, "Send me to Jesus." And he looked around, there's nobody there. Shucks! He's all ready. He's ready to go. That's we're talking about in the beginning of that experience, what it's like in the darkness from moving to the light. He was still in the hole, though. He got his joy in the hole. Right? "Out of hell cried I unto the Lord." Isn't that something? That when you start to cry out of your despair and seeking light, the door of the kingdom starts moving towards you. And it gets closer and closer and closer. But it's not going to if we defend and protect and say, you know, there's no darkness in me. That's absolutely true that there's no darkness in your true self. And so we've defined what the darkness is. It's just the power of death. The darkness is the power of death. The darkness is the power of death. Hello? The darkness is the power of death. Matthew 6:23, Jesus says, "But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." Now, I don't got an evil eye. Are you kidding me? No way. So they ain't talking about me. "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" See, so there's what I'm talking about. If you think you've got light, see, you're still in the darkness. You've got nothing. Jesus says, the Son can do nothing of Himself. And the more you say that, the more the light's going to shine. And you better keep saying it. I think you ought to tattoo it on your forehead, myself. I can do nothing. Right? I can do nothing. And Jesus said it 12 times. In the Gospels, he referred to that, not once, but 12 times. 12 times. And then the Pharisees gathered around him again because they didn't like what they were hearing again, and they started challenging and demanding him of again, and he turned to him and he said, "I'm telling you, the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that quickeneth." And they all left except the 12, and Jesus turned to them and said, "Would you leave me too?" And he said, "No, Master, you have the words of eternal life." How long will it take us to realize the flesh profiteth nothing? And the flesh is just what Rex said, calls the stinking mind. The stinking thinking mind. That's all it is. It's just an illusion. It's a fake oasis. And oasises are fake, right? It's a mirage, I mean. It's a mirage that looks like an oasis. There we go. Right? It's a mirage. And I've got a whole lesson called The Mirage. We did last year that talks all about that. So this eye that Jesus is talking about in Matthew is just you not recognizing the prime directive. Not understanding that your Father is judging the world in righteousness. The everlasting light, it says. I'm going to switch over to the light now. Do you think it's safe? Can I talk about the light? Has everybody let go of their egos? We put them on the wagon. The wagons are circling around out there, and they've taken off, okay? We've put it on the wagon, we're waving bye-bye, we'll see you later, okay? And now it's safe to say the light's everlasting. The light's everlasting. What is the light? It's the real self hidden within the darkness. You'd have to discover it in the darkness. Hello? And behind your desire for change. Here's another one. Another place where the darkness dwells. It's behind your desire for change. It's called the darkness of the future. A trap of passing time. Why do I say the darkness of the future? Because there's no future. Ellie gets a gold star and a blue ribbon and a steak dinner. You and Rex get to go out for free steak dinner. Jerry's missed out twice now. Yeah, Jerry's just going to get soup. Your wife gets a big, she'll probably share with you though, Jerry. Zoop. Darkness dwells in the future, guys. Doesn't it? There's no future and a help in the future. Whoops. The wisdoms of Solomon. I'm going to have to get a baseball cap because I don't think I'm going to get out of the sun. Can you get me a cap, dear? So I'm starting to glow, aren't I?
Yeah, it's funny.
Woo!
Did you want to move to that chair? Just go over the chair.
Okay, let me see if I can do that without spilling everything here. Can we? Okay, well, you're going to have to turn the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to sit on that. I'm going to sit on this. Yeah, one? I'm going to sit right there. Yeah, thank you. Can you got it over there, dear?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rex. Okay.
Okay there.
See, I'm getting so close to light, I can't stay out of it.
Look, there was this shadow that was coming over you. It was very cool.
Okay, now I'm sitting down too far to get... Okay. Are we there? Hello, everybody. Sorry, we're moving around on you. Here we go. That's moving quick, though. Yeah. So I might be right up on the camera here in a little bit. I might be right in your nose. The Wisdom of Solomon, 1917. It's not in your King James Bible, but it's in your Catholic Bible if you're Catholic. Okay? The Wisdom of Solomon. I love this book, by the way, because most of the verses have a different taste to them. And you know what's happened? Is nobody's went in and messed with them very much. Have they? That's part of the reason. They haven't went in there and messed with them. Now, the darkness of the future, the trap of passing time. Where does darkness dwell? It can only dwell in the future. So now we're connecting all of the teaching before, the teaching of time, with the future, or with darkness. So here it says, therefore, even with blindness were these stricken. That's talking about this mind that dwells in darkness. As those were at the doors, when they were at the doors of the righteous man, they began to be compassed about with horrible great darkness, because everyone sought the passage of his own door. This is where the conflict comes from. Now, one night I got a revelation because I had come home and I was scrapping with my wife just a little bit about a simple thing. Nothing, you know, we don't do WWF out here in the middle of the floor at all, because she don't fight. She never has fought.
I could beat you up anyway.
Right, she could take me down because she's working out all the time. I've tried to push her, but she's strong. I'll tell you, all that massaging and stuff, you know. But anyway, everyone sought the passage of his own door. So here's where the conflict comes between people. We've got, each one of us got our own door, and they none of them line up. Okay? Your door to your world ain't the same as mine, and bless God, you're wrong. Okay? Your door is the wrong door. I'm going to go and put a padlock on that thing and put a guard on it. You come through my door. And eventually you've got war between nations, which is usually backed up by some religious sect in some way. Right? It says it. Everyone was looking through passage of his own door. Now, when I look at the Good News translation, I love the way it said it. That's another Bible that I love. I always check that one. If I'm suspicious and the King James isn't worded quite the way I'm hearing it, because I don't want to stray away from the truth. So I do these things just to check myself, right? So now here's the way the Good News translation says it. These people were also struck with blindness. Now it says they're talking about, it says in here, like the men of Sodom. Now, we're the men of Sodom. We are. We're the men of Sodom. This is the Pharisee. This is the man of Sodom. These people living by their mind are struck with blindness, it says, who came to the door of the righteous man Lot and found themselves in total darkness as each one groped around to find his own door. Now, isn't that puts it a lot better, doesn't it? Each man groped around to find his own door. Why is he groping around? Because it's dark. And you open the door, there ain't no light there either. So you're trying to open the door in the dark, and when you open the door, it's dark. Double jeopardy, I think that's called. Isn't that amazing? We're talking about the darkness, so I'm not getting a lot of hallelujahs and amens, you know, but, you know, that's okay. It's all right. I'll take it. Okay? Now, I want to go off on a little bit of a spiritual rabbit trail here to focus on some things just a little bit. My wife's my best friend. But I had a best friend that was very, very close to me spiritually. And her name was Elizabeth Carl Morrissey. And she left us at the age of 31. Now, at that time, it was very hard for someone that young. She was going to be the future president of this company that we have. And she now would have been working for us 15 years. Her first real job outside of working at Frosty Boy, serving ice cream. Wow. And she stayed, and we loved her. And she loved us beyond any relationship I've ever had. And the reason, only reason was, we were spiritually in tune. Had nothing to do with anything physical. But I just said to her one day, I said, Liz, all I can tell you is I'm madly in love with you. And the reason I know that's because I don't want anything from you. It wasn't about sex or going to dinner or having her do anything for me. That's why I knew it was pure. Because I said, I just want to be here for you. And we helped her be sustained through this difficult time that lasted about a year. And she was tuned in. I'll tell you, that gal was tuned in. I want to tell you what Liz is seeing right now. Okay? Right now, what is she seeing? because within a lot of our groups, there's reincarnation is taught directly and specifically, and then it's inferred to by others. Some people have talked about people going to the bosom of Abraham. Well, where the heck's that? Okay? And I had one lady's version that told me that if I ever had any ill feeling towards someone, I could become that person again for 10 lifetimes. I might have to be that person for 1,000 years. And it was a ridiculously prejudiced statement she made. It was just unbelievably prejudiced. And I'm going, holy smoke, where'd they come up with this stuff? I'm saying, holy smoke. And I'm just telling you, it's the infinite way does a wonderful job bringing you up to the kingdom. And then they teach, forgive me, those of you in the infinite way, because I love you, and most of what we teach comes from infinite way, most of it, not all of it. Darkness cannot reincarnate itself, people. An illusion can't recreate itself. No way. No way. No way. It's an illusion now. It has no substance now. It's as though it never were and it never will be. Period. I'm telling you what Liz sees right now. Liz sees 100% light right now. That's all she can see. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She's absent from her body right now. That's the only thing that's changed. Now, so where does that put us? Attached to our body. We talked about it this morning. It said our body, our history and our memory screwed onto our body is where all of our problems come from. All of them. I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that. This hurts, that hurts. And how do I categorize that to help you? I don't want people to feel judged from what I'm saying. I just want to help you come out of it. Okay? So anybody that's suffering in any way, take aspirin, eat a hamburger if it makes you feel better. You know, do whatever you need, okay? I do not care about any of that stuff. I'm not talking about that. Why in the world? And another thing, God has never told anybody, I'm going to give you 20 more years. Where'd that come from? It's a passage in the Old Testament that's taken out of context. Does God say somebody, I'm going to give you 20 more years, what, 20 more years in hell? Is it 20 more years of life? Is that what it is? Is that what you call life? Living here 20 more years? You're nuts. God never says that to anyone and never has. God says you are life eternal. You are life eternal. That's what he says. And he's always saying it. And we're straying away from the pure truth that's going to produce peace in your life, okay? Now, I'll guarantee you one thing. Liz isn't seeing any darkness at all, okay? There is no way she's seeing any darkness. And she's not down there choosing her next parents, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'll never, ever, I've got some really close friends that we fellowship at a close level on some of this really good truth, and here's where they might, you know, I might get disconnected, but I don't care. Okay? That stuff is absolute nonsense. It's an imagination. There's no way that an illusion reincarnates itself. Illusion is illusion. Darkness is darkness. It never gets light. And I mean, there's talk of that it could take 1,000 years before you see the light. Well, I'm starting to see the light now. And I'm telling you what, if I had some wrong thoughts during from here to back, see, I was going to take me a million years to get out of there. I'm just telling you right now, okay? I mean, that's just baloney, okay? It's just pure baloney. It all has to do with what works, doesn't it? It's all, you do this or that, you might, you know, Well, they couch it around karma. And there's no question that you reap what you sow in this world, okay? No question about it. But that doesn't mean it's spiritual, okay? That doesn't make it spiritual. That's just what happens in hell. And people are afraid to call it hell. You reap what you sow in hell. You aren't going to get away with very much. You think you are. But I love Langan's teaching, is that whatever energy you send out comes back to you. And in that I agree, okay? But it comes back to you because it creates friction between you and your spirit. It doesn't mean, I mean, I can tell you right now, I've done some things, and I mean, I'm not even going to go into it because you might quit listening to me, okay? And I don't want you to do that. And it doesn't matter anyway, you know? Yeah, we are. But I just want to emphasize this thing that nobody is suffering outside, out in this realm beyond time and space. There's no suffering going on in any way. There's no progression. Nobody's climbing any kind of karmic ladder to reach the light, okay? Because God says you're already the light. So wherever you go, you're taking the light with you, even if you go to hell. Rex and Liz and Diane and I rode to Hell, Michigan the other day, and we took the light into hell with us. And we enjoyed it, didn't we, Rex? We were by the damn tavern in Hell, Michigan. Had a ball. We got a picture to prove it, that's right. So, just this morning, well, it was actually a couple mornings ago, because I wrote this part a couple mornings ago, I woke up with appearances waiting to speak to me. And so I have to say to myself every morning, do I really believe that? And the answer is always no. The answer is always no. I'm quite a dreamer. And there are many times when I wake that I have a feeling that it's totally real. I dream every night, okay? Every night. I mean vivid. I could talk about them sometimes weeks later. And sometimes they are the funniest things. They are just hilarious, okay? Sometimes they're not so hilarious. Sometimes I'm running from a bear. Sometimes I'm in a shootout. And a lot of times it has to do with some things I've watched on TV or places I've been. But I don't know how in the world these things get put together, but the way they get to put together, I've laughed my brains out over this stuff. I just laugh. And I used to feel condemned by it and think something was wrong with me. See? Do you know what I mean? Because some of them were pretty strange, okay? I'm going, Chase, what's wrong with me? How could those things be there? I thought I was righteous. Well, my thought of righteousness and all those things have nothing to do with who I am. They were just all imaginations, aren't they? Because my thought that I was righteous is an imagination too. I can't be righteous. I am righteous. And it's not who I think I am that's righteous. It's who God says I am. Big difference. And so, these strange, unusual exchanges that I'd seen with my eyes or heard with my ears over the last 2 days were just imaginations trying to come together and take thought. Trying to form knowledge to create patterns that I might follow, right? Just what I just said, you know, whoa, you know, what's that? You know, I try to paste something together and say, but geez, you know, I better get rid of that. There wasn't anything to get rid of. I just said, no, none of that's true. Just off I went. By the time I had my cup of coffee, it was gone. Yep, in and out. And so when any thought whatsoever, I don't care how ugly it might seem, it's not coming from you. Okay? But that doesn't mean you have to follow it either. Okay? Right? Because if you think it's coming from you, sometimes you follow it. Mm-hmm. But don't judge yourself for thoughts, because the kingdom of God is not words and thoughts. It's not words and thoughts. So don't worry about it. So, anyways. How do we escape the issues that seem to surround us all the time? They're always trying to nip at our heels. And again, the answer from yesterday and this morning is we have to go inside. Now, how do we go inside? How do we go inside? We realize who we are, and we begin to let go of these things that we're anxious about. We go inside by first letting go of the things we're anxious about. Anxious. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. And it's the prayer of thanksgiving. Yes. Not, don't ask God for stuff and then maybe squeeze a thankfulness out because you didn't get it, you know. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. I believe that's in Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. But with everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Everything. Not some things. Wherever you're at, give thanks. The doorway to the gate in the kingdom is inside you. And therefore, nothing that you can do, nothing that you can say that's happening in your world can alter that kingdom. Nothing. It's already there, right? It's in you. I keep saying this. It's like the old Ragu commercial when I was a kid. Everybody's seen it, I'm sure, in here, right? Everybody's seen it. It's all in there. Nobody ever thought there'd be spaghetti sauce in a jar. Remember, they said that. You got to be kidding me. Spaghetti sauce in a jar, Mama, that's a sin. Oh, no, no, son. No, no, son, it's all in there. That's how they presented it, didn't they? I can't believe it. You're using spaghetti sauce out of a jar. It's all in there, Mama. So when we come back out of our insanity, we do it by realizing it's all in there. You can't realize it's all in there if you're trying to add more ingredients. Right? It isn't all in there if you're adding more ingredients. And that's a great example, isn't it? At some point, you got to stop. I mean, you can't put everything in there. So you got to be satisfied with your pizza sauce or your spaghetti sauce, okay? At some point, you better be satisfied. So we'll have that. It'll be the next lesson. Be satisfied with your spaghetti sauce, okay? We'll bring spaghetti in for everybody. Okay. The doorway, the gate to the kingdom is inside you. You must find the entrance to this kingdom within you, and you can never find it by observation or within changing circumstances. You can't find the entrance to the kingdom within the answer to your problem that's surrounding your circumstance, or by your circumstance going away, or starting, or stopping, or moving, or twitching, or whatever else you want to come up with. And that's, again, where some of the teaching is. You meditate. And they teach you, feel this click. And when you feel the click, it means whatever it's troubling you is going to go away. Well, I just say, be thankful in everything and it'll go away. You don't need to wait for a quick click. If it's a click or a twitch, probably forget that. Right? Be thankful if it doesn't go away. Exactly, Rex. Let go of the answer. It's not let go of the problem. Let go of the answer. Because you're trying to follow a specific answer that you want in your world. Let go of the answer. Your idea that something is going to come your way that will bring joy is an illusion. Because we're back out in the future again. Our ideology of our world of appearances, where someday the lion lays down with the lamb and man has dominion over this world where peace will reign, is the root cause of the very conflict we witness. We're going to move to a different level now. We're going to be talking about the same thing, but I've just grabbed another tentacle. I'm grabbing another tentacle that's been within our teaching that has to go away. All right? And we've said it enough times, I hope everybody believes that's listening, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. No. No, no, no. It doesn't. So, it's not talking about literally a lamb laying down next to a lion. It has a spiritual meaning. And that's where we get thrown off all the time. Because we keep wanting something to change out here. So the reason there's no peace in the world is because we're trying to bring peace into the world. And in that we judge the world. And what are we doing then? We're violating the prime directive. Hello. Hello. So dominion over this world has nothing to do with it. Because it's what every other peace-loving man wants to do. There's millions of people that don't even go into the doors of a church, and then everybody going into a church wants to bring peace into this world. Everybody's talking about peace in the Middle East. And if there's ever a bad example, it's there. And it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. Guaranteed. Israel over there hanging on to a strip of land about the size of a strip of bacon, and here's all the Muslims with enough land to cover the earth and enough oil to drown the earth, and Israel's still fighting and having to share a little strip of land, and somehow they're saying God's their chosen people. Well, their particular God isn't doing very good for them, is he? Because they can't even hang on to the little strip. They barely got enough room for their own airport. I mean, if they flew left or right, they'd be in a no-fly zone over some Arab country somewhere. I mean, they probably got to fly out over the Mediterranean even to take off and land. I mean, it's that small. Now, is that blessing? If you're into observation and you're into Israel being chosen. And it says in Romans, you're not of Israel who of Israel. It says that right there. It says you're of Israel who is of the Spirit. And the Spirit is knowing. You're the Spirit when you know your Spirit. So all of this is talking about the mind versus the Spirit. The flesh versus the Spirit. That's all it's talking about, okay? So I'm not judging the Jews, okay? I don't believe in their God. Actually, I don't believe in anyone's God. Because if I believe in a God, it means he's out there. I believe that God is dwelling in my heart. Yes. That's what I believe. Yes. And it's not a God, it's my life. Right. It's that river that flows out from me. And if I've got problems or circumstances there, it blocks off the flow. So, we must come up higher. What does everlasting dominion mean? Well, it doesn't mean what we've thought it's meant. Because we're not going to reign over the animals. And it doesn't mean a mosquito won't bite you. And it doesn't mean a leopard won't eat a gazelle. Okay? I eat animal meat all the time. So it doesn't mean any of that. Okay? And if you want to argue with me over that, I've got 10 scriptures that say the kingdom of God is not meat. Okay? It's not meat and drink. Or anything else you want to put there, right? And there's a whole bunch of other words that say meat, okay? And if we're going to argue, I will race and I'll turn my computer on and I'll find 20 words that say meat before you find one. See? So it's not, and I don't want to argue. I'm just saying it's got nothing to do with that. We've got to draw the spiritual meanings out to find life. And so now in Daniel 7, I saw in the night visions. I saw in the night visions. Whoa, well, I'm suspicious again. Out of the darkness. Daniel said, I saw in the night visions. I got suspicious again, and I heard that. Night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven and came into the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before me. Whew, here he comes. He's right here. The kingdom of God's right in front of me. They brought him near before me, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Why? Because his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed. Now, how do I know what I'm saying is correct? How can I say the night visions match the darkness in Psalm 23? Because there's a huge thread. And so, from darkness you raise hearts. I saw as I was inside the night visions, the truth coming unto me, the entrance to the kingdom coming, approaching unto me in the night visions. I saw in the night visions an everlasting dominion. Now, if it's a dominion that's everlasting, it's never went anywhere, has it? It's a dominion that's timeless. It's a dominion that doesn't change, isn't it? If it's everlasting. It's the same words as this is the everlasting light in the Thanksgiving Psalms 23. This is the everlasting light. Everlasting dominion will never pass away, and the kingdom will not be destroyed. Well, what's everybody worried about? Extinction? Passing away? And he's telling them, wait a minute, this dominion doesn't pass away. This dominion never gets destroyed because it has nothing to do with what? Observation. It's not connected in any way to your vision. But while I'm in these night visions, these imaginations of the heart, the darkness of the heart, I'm in fear because I'm judging by appearances. But he said, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. It isn't. He comes to us in the darkness, but then tells us he's been there all the time. And that's why when we go to hell, David discovered he was already there. And I remember saying in August, it says, it's almost like God saying, Nevins, what the hell are you doing down there in hell? You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to and fro across the earth, trying to scratch out a living by the sweat of my brow. Really, you having fun? No. Well, that's not my kingdom. Come on over. Come on over where righteousness and joy and peace is everlasting. And let go of all the answers to your problems, and you'll have peace. Come on over. He's also talking about Christ in this passage. Out of the darkness, the mind of Christ comes into us. Christ himself entered into darkness and passing time and became one of us and leads us out. And so now I want to talk about some great scripture that Bob Hughes shared with me. And I've entitled just these few verses, it's called A Scepter of Righteousness. Now, a scepter is something that represents something, doesn't it? It represents something. Moses used it to guide himself. And it's very interesting. Moses' scepter had a cross and a snake on top of it. And when they looked upon the snake on the cross, and it's on every ambulance in this country, it said when they looked upon the snake on the cross, they were healed. Who was the snake on the cross? Christ. Christ became the serpent man and died on a cross. Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Christ became the curse. And in that, I believe in the vicarious absolution. He became the serpent. I have to see myself. I have to daily take up my cross and reject the answers to my problems. Reject the anxiousness that wakes me up in the morning. Okay, after I've had a stiff drink and I numbed it for a little while, it comes back. Right? I'm not promoting drinking, I'm just saying. Man does that sometimes, and maybe you got to do that. I don't care. But it'll be waiting for you. And some of the issues that are in our lives in this world, will be waiting for us next week. So do we have tools now that can help us? Do we have tools that can help us? You can always find a place to be silent. In your anxiousness, be still. It's a call to be still. And I say to myself, Nevins, what is it you want? What do you want? What do you want? I say. What is it you want? Because it's got to be something I want that's troubling me. What do you want? Is it that big of a deal? I say to him, I do. I've got this little 3-step program. I don't want to call it a program, but I've counseled a lot of people, and we always get down to the problem always comes to, what do you really want? And you're usually going to find behind that immediate want is a desire that's out of line. That's why we don't find victory, because we're focused on the end game and there's something in front of that that's creating the issue.
Amen.
Okay? So that's a lot of times why how we get stuck in things, right? And when I talk to the Father that way, He usually will get right to the root problem. You know, because I think I need this thing, but it's my desire that's out of line. You know, can I be satisfied without what it is I want? Is it okay? I'm starting to get hit by the light. Oh, I think I'm okay. I'll just slide over a little bit. So Bob says, I like your emphasis on righteousness. The kingdom of God is not words and thoughts, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I would like to share a couple other scriptures. In Genesis 49:10, he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, if you remember, the tribe of Judah was the tribe of righteousness in the Old Testament. It represented the pureness of the tribes. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, the ultimate ruler. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne is forever and ever. It is a scepter of righteousness, and that scepter is the scepter of the kingdom. And so we know that the kingdom of God is righteousness. It says it all the time. But it's a scepter of righteousness. It represents an understanding that changes the way we view the world. Then in John 1, verse 3, he says, pay attention, come close now. He's talking about the message. Listen careful to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you. Here's the commitment he's making with us. I don't think the way you think. Isn't that funny? I don't think the way you think. Hello. The way you work isn't the way I work. God's decree is as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. That's the covenant he's making with you. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I send them to do. They will complete the assignment I gave them. So you will go out in joy and you will be led into a whole, complete life. So go within now. Open the door to your kingdom by saying, Father, speak to me, your servant listeneth. We said this yesterday. And from inside you, within you, a voice will tell you that nothing can touch you. And that it no longer matters what happens in the appearances, because nothing's happening in the kingdom. So if we're following something happening in the appearances, we're back on the other side of the door. Now, it seems nitpicky. If you go back in this recording, we explained what that means. It has nothing to do with wanting stuff. It has to do with anxiousness about wanting things. It has to do with the trouble surrounding wanting things, not the things. Okay? People that make great big luxury lots, big yachts, million-dollar yachts, need somebody to buy them. You know, nothing wrong with that. They like jobs. They like work, right? People making Cadillacs like their jobs. So go buy a Cadillac. Jocelyn's going to go buy one next week. Okay. Just a little bit more. No, I'm good. We'll get her. I'll put my sun visor up. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We don't know that when we're chasing around our problems, do we? We forget it. So in Corinthians, he said, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness of God by understanding that we were always righteous. This is when we're in our right mind. So we can't understand this as long as we're outside the righteous mind. What did it say about the legions? He was found after all of it was done in his right mind. That's a righteous mind, righteous mind. He was found in a righteous mind. A righteous mind knows that the Spirit is the Father. It's not your definition of who you think you are. You've had a definition of who you think you are for how many years you've been old. It's time to let go of it and get a new definition. And I feel there isn't anyone listening to me, including myself, that doesn't need to let go of the definition of who I am, because it's an ego. It's called Michael Olin Nevins. And we need a new name. And we went over that in August. Those people that entered into the kingdom got a new name. Paul and Peter both got different names. It represented a change in consciousness. Our name is the Father of righteousness, of peace. We read it in Solomon. He says, your name will be called peace of righteousness and glory of godliness. That's what it said in the wisdoms. Daniel 9, in the beginning of my supplications, the commandment came forth. The commandment came forth. I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. That was the commandment. A commandment came forth. I've come to show thee that thou art greatly loved. Love to God, your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're synonymous. You will love yourself if you love your neighbor.
That's right.
You're loving yourself when you love your neighbor that bugs you. The one that bugs you. The one that runs over your sprinklers. I got one of those. At the beginning of my supplications, he interrupted me when I was asking him for something. A commandment came forth. And he came to show me, said, for thou art greatly beloved. Well, that sort of stopped you in your tracks. I thought I was asking you for something. Oh, you interrupted me. Thou art greatly beloved. Do you need anything more than that? He's saying. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to do what? To bring in everlasting righteousness, it says. That's the title of the lesson. It's the same as everlasting dominion. 70 weeks. It's a time statement, isn't it? And it's attached to, it was upon thy people while they were in a holy city. While they were in the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the Father, their minds were dwelling in a place that was consumed by time, where transgression and sins needed to be made a reconciliation for. So that you'd understand that your name is everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision now and to anoint the most holy. How long does everlasting righteousness last? And so it never had a beginning, did it? Before you were born, I made you holy. That's the truth. And it's not your definition of who you think you are. It's not that. Now, I think we can read one more passage in closing. As I'm glowing brighter and brighter here, I might need some sunglasses, but that's all right. I can read this, so I'll keep going. It feels good. I think now, after all this, we can understand this scripture in Revelation 21 much better. And it's just two verses, and then we're going to close for the weekend. And he said, John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven. Well, a great voice out of heaven is an overwhelming voice. That's what it means. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, because God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How will there be no more death? When we understand the definition of death, right? Jesus overcame the power of death. When we understand who we are, we'll quit feeling sorry for ourselves. That's when our tears will be wiped away. We'll quit boo-hoo. Woe is me. I need this. I need that. That's when the tears will get wiped away, because we'll get over ourselves. Get over yourself. And your tears will be wiped away pretty quickly. Because we're just bawling and squalling about something we don't have. Whatever it is. I don't care how bad it is or severe it is. Get over it. Get on with the business of the kingdom, which is not desiring anything that you don't have. And again, it's only because it drives you out into the future. And there's no light there. There's only darkness there. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be in darkness. Okay? I don't want to be in darkness. So there's no more death when we understand righteousness. And there's no more death when we understand what we talked about here at 10 o'clock, where it talked about the power of death being the devil. When we overcome our minds, our visions that we have. The former things will pass away. What are the former things? Our former way of life, where we're consumed by the answers to our problems. This is the doorway to the kingdom. And I'm just thankful for all of you participating with us. We're thankful for all of you listening. And we'll be back November the 16th, I believe it is, to finish up for this year. Yeah, November 16th and 17th. And so thank you very much. We'll see you in November. Okay.